Lord, I love. Sing it, sister. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I love you. For all the things you do. Lord, I love you. Oh, help me.
Help me love you more.
With all my heart.
With all my soul. With all my love.
With all my heart.
With all my soul. With all my
One more time. With all my heart. Glory to God.
With all my heart. With all my soul. With all my mind.
Yes, Lord. You deserve nothing less. You loved us with all your heart. With all your soul. With all your mind. You came down and was subject to the same restrictions we were. Set aside your omnipotence, your omniscience, and your omnipresence. And died the shameful death on the cross. Went to hell. You loved us with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. You screamed on the cross, "It is finished!" You gave everything. And like the Apostle Paul said, Lord, if one died for all, then we're all dead. That we which live should no longer live unto ourselves, but unto you who died for us. We worship you. As we go into your word, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. We pray for fresh unction and anointing. Firstly upon my heart and my lips, so I will speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. And I pray you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, so that your word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great and sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and are hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, yea, that I will deliver the word with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed under the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving every blessing mentioned in their individual lives, all agreed individually and said, I have a very important message. It is an instructional present truth message to prepare us for the imminent coming of the Lord. And I have, by the help of the Holy Spirit, I yet not I, but the grace of God which is within me, entitled it Establishing Your Heart. I first of all wrote establish. The Holy Spirit said, establishing means it is a present continuous thing that we must continue to do unto the coming of the Lord. And our text, main text, we're going to have quite a number of texts, but the first one and the main one is from James chapter 5. James is what I, one of the one, I call them the perfection epistles. James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, Jude, all of those epistles talk about perfection and give you the wisdom, you know, instructions and wisdom as to how to go into perfection. So in James chapter 5 in verse 7, it says, I like that. Keep playing that. Record it so that it can play back by itself so that you can concentrate on the message. It's a lovely, lovely song. You know, some of these other old songs, have so much anointing on them. Some of our modern songs don't have, because the people who wrote them don't know God. They're just entertaining. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's what Jesus said. They said, what is the great commandment of the law? Old and New Testament. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. It's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's not an appeal. It's a commandment. That's what I'm going to be talking about. Be patient, therefore. And incidentally, you know, Pastor Andrew, they chose this hymn without knowing what I was going to preach. So when I saw it this morning, I said, wow, that's good. They chose it by themselves. Be patient, therefore, brethren. Talk to your neighbor, say he's talking to you and I. For we be brethren. God forbid if you're not a brother. As you're born again, you're a child of God. Be patient, therefore, brethren. I didn't hear you. What's wrong with us this afternoon? Unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and hath little patience for it. Until he, that is the earth, is old English, receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Stop. You know what he's telling you? God is patient, so you too must learn to be patient. See, God is the husbandman. Jesus said, I am the vine, you know, my Father is the husbandman. So God is the husbandman. God is patient. So he said, be ye also. Also means like God, you know. So since God is patient, you yourself must be patient. Establish your hearts. I didn't hear you. Why? For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Let me just say some things off the bat. The implication of this state of this scripture is that if your heart is not established through patience, you will not be ready for the coming of the Lord. He said, for. That's the reason. Like, because. The reason why you have to be patient and establish your heart is because the coming of the Lord is drawing near. Now, James wrote this 2,000 years ago. If it was true then, how much more true is it today? Hence, this present truth prophetic message, well, it's not really, it is, you know, because it's something that's happening as I speak. You know, this present truth instructional message, you know, on establishing our hearts. First of all, let us define our heart. Then we will now define what an established heart is. The heart, when the Bible speaks about heart here, like when we're singing that song, it's not just talking about your spirit. It includes that, but you see, your inner man, I've used this in my illustration over the years, but I don't want to do that today because of time. You know, the inner man, you know, is, the Bible calls it the inner man. Then the inner man is spirit and soul. The Bible talks about dividing asunder spirit and soul. They're in one thing, but there is a demarcation between the spirit and the soul. The soul is up here, the mind, the will, and the emotions. The spirit is the rest of the inner man. When you get born again, what gets born again is your spirit. But your soul, which is your mind, your will, and emotions, that's what the Bible calls your heart. So when we're talking about your heart here, we're talking about loving God with your mind, like we sang. Loving God with your will. Loving God with your emotions. And I'm going to say, I'm going to shock you. You know, unless you're honest and you've really examined yourself, you may not have come to this truth, to this realization. Many of us don't love God in our emotions. We still love the world. That's why, you see, if I told you, for example, if I said, oh, come and spend 2 or 3 hours in prayer, the flesh retracts. Don't want to do that. God doesn't love it. But if he's going to spend 2 or 3 hours watching television, or watching a movie, or, you know, going out to party with a friend. We like that. Those things are not necessarily sinful, but sometimes, many times rather, we love those things more than we love God. God confronted me with this many years ago. He said, you still love those things. And he said, I don't even mind you enjoying those things, for I've given you all things to enjoy richly. He said, but you must never love them more than me. So I, by the grace and the mercy of God, began a transformation process. And I can say now, I yet not I, but the grace of God which is in, and I'm still working on it. That's why I use the word establishing. You know, that from that time when he spoke and he corrected me to now, I can honestly say I love God more now, you know, than any of those things. That I still like some of those things. I still enjoy them. But I don't love them more anymore than God. John, warning us about this, he said, you know, in 1 John chapter 2, I believe it is, he said that, you know, if any man love the world, he said the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and he names them, the lust of the flesh, that is the things our body desires, things like food, sleep, sex, you know, the things the physical body loves, the lust of the eyes, which is the mind, you know, things, the intellectual, you know, people love, and I'm one of those, you know, I'm changing, and I've changed, you know, I like to, you know, make inquiry, you know, and study, you know, physics and maths and all of those things. And there's nothing wrong in those things. Don't misunderstand me. God wants us to have knowledge. But you see, when your quest and your love for those things supersedes your love for God, let me put it this way. When you enjoy those things more than you enjoy God, there's a problem. So you can begin to locate yourself. And many of us are like that. The loss of the eyes. You know, that's the things that the mind likes. Some people like, you know, this is not flesh now because it's not a physical. It has to do with the mind, you know. We love, you know, the things of the world. You know, we love television. We love, you know, not necessarily pleasures of the flesh, but pleasures of the mind. Entertainment, movies, plays. And again, I want to put a balance here. I'm not saying those things are wrong. But you see, when my love for them supersedes my love for God, I got a problem. And many of us are still there. Then the pride of life, the love for recognition, the love of titles, the love, you know, for human adulation. When people, you know, talk about you and you know, what Martin Luther King Jr. called, you know, the drum major instinct, the desire to lead the parade. You know, I remember, you know, I still have the book with me, you know, Martin Luther King Jr.'s, some of his messages, and there's a chapter called The Drum Major Instinct. He said, you know, we all like it when people say good things about us, even when they are not true. We love flattery. You know what the man is saying is not true, but because he's saying it about you and he's saying in front of a lot of people, there's this warm glow. We all feel the desire to lead the parade, the desire for recognition, the desire for the love of the applause of men. Again, it is not as if that is totally wrong. It is just that this is the fact, folks. Once it is more than the love of God, there's a problem. And when we like those things, you know, recognition. You go to a place, for example, nobody knows who you are, and you're sitting at the back. You know, and there are other people come, and the whole ceremony goes on. You are not even acknowledged. And yet, you are looking at yourself and say, look at these people. They don't even know who I am. You know, nobody, they couldn't even, and you feel bad. You feel you have been disrespected and dishonored. If that feeling is still strong, God still has a lot of work to do on you. You know why? Your sense of worth, your sense of acknowledgement should come from God. If God lets men say it, great. If even they don't say it, it doesn't change who you are. Because you are who God says you are, not what men say you are. But it takes time to get there. I know what I'm talking about because I have been and I still am metamorphizing over the years. At the time, those things used to disturb me. To the glory of God, I can say this honestly. It doesn't disturb me anymore. You know why? I know who I am in God. And my satisfaction, I'm looking for another word. But let me use the word satisfaction for now until God gives me another one. You know, my sense of fulfillment comes from knowing God has approved of me. So whether men approve of me or not, it really makes no matter to me. If they do, praise God, and I can use it to talk about God. But if they don't, it doesn't change who I am. But it takes time to get there. Hence this message. The established heart. God gave me a wonderful definition. In the middle of the night, from last night, you know, as I began to pray the message, he had given me the message about a week or two ago, you know. You know, that's what God does. He will download a message for me. Then he will start building it up, talking to me when I'm praying. And then I'll have my Bible. I'll just write. I have this prayer diary. You know, I'll just write something today. I might write something else tomorrow. Then when I now want to preach it on Sunday, on Saturday, I now sit down under God in the morning when I'm praying and put everything together. So the Lord told me, he said, you should train your soul. Watch this. This is a definition of an established heart. You should train your soul the same way I instructed people to train their children. Hear the word of the Lord. It's Psalm 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way in which it should go, and when it is old, he will not depart from it. Now, let me apply it to this establishing of your heart. If you will train your will to be humble, to submit to the will of God when you don't feel like it, if you will train your mind with revelation knowledge, so it is used to receiving light from God. If you will train your emotions with the fruit of the Spirit, when your heart becomes established, it will never depart from those things. That is the definition of an established heart. An established heart, I wrote here in capitals. An established heart is a heart, and we're talking about the mind, the will, and the emotions now. We're talking about your spirit. An established soul or an established heart is one that through training and process has become established in humility. It has become established in revelation knowledge. It has become established in the fruit of the Spirit. So I now wrote this in brackets. He says, that kind of heart cannot, underline the word cannot, continue in sin. The heart is addicted. The Holy Spirit gave me these things. You know what an addiction is? If people who use cocaine, God forbid, and all those kind of things, if they don't get the fix, they don't get the dose of cocaine or the drug, you know, they're totally unsettled. That's because he called them a drug addict. The established heart is addicted to humility. The established heart is addicted to revelation knowledge. The established heart is addicted to the fruit of the Spirit. If anything happens and it goes out of that mode of operation, it will get terribly disturbed. And it will immediately come back. Not that it cannot sin, but it cannot continue in sin. It's not possible. If it continues, it's not established. When the heart becomes established, it will never go out of the operation of humility. It will never go out of the operation of revelation knowledge, because that's where he gets his that's where he gets his thrills from, so to speak. You know, the light that comes from God, the Holy Spirit, through his human spirit into his mind. You know, he gets addicted to the fruit of the Spirit. And if it's not love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, anything that's outside of that, he becomes very disturbed. He gets back. He cannot continue in sin. He's addicted. You know, the Holy Spirit said it to me like this, so that we can use it to check ourselves. Are you addicted to humility? Is that what you are used to doing? That's what your will is used to. Are you addicted to revelation knowledge? I was sharing with Pastor Andrew and my wife and I, and Yemisi, we went somewhere yesterday, went to Jebu, then we'll come back, we're listening to all these David Ingalls songs, you know, and Kenneth Copeland and all of that, and we're having a great time. Then another set of songs came up. So I now said to Yemisi, I said, can you see the difference? Not that the other songs were bad, but there was a certain drop in the anointing. Because you see, one set of songs were based on the word and were given revelation. So there was a certain level of pleasure. There was a certain level of ministration that they were giving. The other one too was singing, but it wasn't with that level. And you could tell the difference. We had a great time. So what am I saying? I'm telling us that when you become addicted to humility, you know what? Pride becomes an abomination to you. And that's exactly what the Bible says about God. Your heart is becoming like God's. Pride is an abomination. He said there are six things, yea, seven, that God hates. Number one, a proud look. If you see anything like pride around you, it disturbs you. If you listen to a message or you read a book, you know, or you hear Christian music and there's no revelation knowledge, you're not. But the grace of God, that's how I have become over the years. I'm still working on it. I'm still establishing my heart, you know, but I am getting to the place where, you know, if I have no taste for it. I'm addicted to that now. The fruit of the Spirit, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, patience. I'm addicted to it. Addicted. If I don't have it, I'm not okay. So prayer for me now is no longer something that somebody has come and tell me and beg me to do. That's what I live by. If I don't pray, I can't operate, because that's where I get these things from. I get more humility. I get more revelation. I get more of the fruit of the Spirit. If I don't have it, I'm like a junkie that hasn't had his fix. I'm addicted. Addicted to the life of God. Addicted to the Word of God. I can't go for long without the Word of God. I can't go for long without prayer. I can't go for long, you know, without the fruit of the Spirit. I just won't feel okay. When you start having that experience, you're becoming established. Your heart is, train up a child. Train up your heart. Apply to the heart now. In the way, and when it is old or when it becomes established, it won't depart from it. Never. All these things of the world, you know, I see through the thing. You know, the things of the world now, they really hold very little attraction to me. Because I can see through it. And it doesn't do anything. It doesn't excite me. It doesn't, like it used to. It used to. But not anymore. God wants our hearts to become established, because it is the established heart that can receive the coming of the Lord. When we talk about the coming of the Lord, we have to understand we're talking about the Lord coming to his church in the spirit, with the spirit without measure. My very good friend, Professor Fred Adekoke, wrote an article recently I sent to the pastors. It's called, you know, A New Visitation. He put a question mark. You know, beautiful article. And he said this, you know, similar to what I've said over the years, but I like the way he said it. You know, he added a few more things. He said that the coming of the Lord is in four stages. I have preached it in three stages. He said four, but it's actually the same thing. He said he's going to come in us, then he's going to come to us, then he's going to come for us, then he's going to come with us. I've never added the to us because I've just talked about the in us. But if you think about it, Pastor Fred is spot on. Because when he comes in us in his fullness, that is with the Spirit without measure, and the glory of God begins to manifest, that glory that begins to manifest through us comes to the other people around us. So it comes in us, to us, then in us, to us, in us, to us, in us, to us. And what? It spreads in the whole church. Give the Lord a clap of praise. That's how it's going to come. It's not going to come with everybody at first. It will come in a small number of people in us. Then those small people, as they begin to manifest, it will now go to others. Then those that it goes to will not get the hunger. It will not come in them. Then they too will now send to other people. Then it's like a chain reaction. The whole church will get a visitation. Another thing about this, talking about the established heart, is that, watch this. The Holy Ghost gave this to me also this morning as I was praying, meditating, you know. And let me just, you know, say one or two things that will bless you, and that will also, the Bible says, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, over these years, I've learned that, you know, God is such a very pleasant person. You know, he's not the religious, you know, prude that we thought he was. You know, God isn't stiff. God is extremely flexible. Something happened to me this morning. You know, I got up early in the morning as usual, you know, about 3 o'clock or something, you know, and then we went to go and start praying and preparing, you know, for church and everything, you know. So he began to download some of this stuff to me. Now, this is what happened. I was in the bath, and as I was having my bath, he began to talk to me about this, you know, and said, you know, this established, he says, you know, it's not just established. He says, the degree of being established is the degree to which I will come in you. So, and then, you know, I put it aside and I was, you know, getting ready, having my bath, changing and everything. I was driving my car coming to church. It was while I was driving that the rest of it came in greater clarity to me. And I'm going to share that with you now. The degree to which your heart is established is the degree to which he will come in you. If it's established to some degree, it will come in you and you'll be able to manifest a borrowed anointing where you heal the sick. Instant. All of it is instant. If it's more established, you'll be able to get to the place where you're not only able to heal the sick, you can also cleanse the lepers. Cleanse the lepers is equivalent to also, you know, having miracles, creative miracles. Things like, you know, blind eyes opening, withered hands coming out. That's not the same as healing the sick. Healing the sick is somebody has malaria or they have cancer. You pray for them and they get healed instantly. But when you come to cleansing of lepers, you're dealing with a creative miracle of something that was in the physical body that is dramatically changed in front of everybody. It's a higher level. Then, the more established your heart becomes, all this came while I was driving. I was praying in tongues as I was driving, coming to church this morning. I said all of that to let you know that God talks to us everywhere. It's not only when I'm in the prayer closet, which he did. He started in the prayer closet. But you see, that's why we must learn to fellowship. I said it deliberately, so that you can learn to fellowship with God. God is an easy, nice person. He talks to you everywhere. God talks to me when I'm watching a movie. God talks to me when I'm watching the news. That's my wife. All the time, you know. God talks to me all the time. So I don't leave the presence of God simply because I left the place of concentrated prayer. Is this addiction we're talking about? Addicted to the presence of God. Somebody asked me some years ago, you know, I don't know where it was, one of my children, everybody traveled, my wife traveled. Said, Daddy, are you lonely? I said, I'm alone, but I'm never lonely. It's the truth. I have three people with me all the time. I got the presence of the Father, the Son. Oh, that's not fiction, it's reality. I never feel lonely. Never. I used to. I never feel lonely because God's presence is real to me. And I talk to him and he talks back to me and he cracks jokes. One day the Lord said to me, I don't know who it was. Something was happening somewhere. He said, that guy is a real SOB. I said, Lord, I beg your pardon. You know, because you see, my knowledge of SOB is son of a bitch. So I said, Lord, you know, you are God now. Can you be saying that? He said, haven't you read in my word when I say he's a son of Belial? I laughed my head off. You know, I said, Lord, so it's scriptural. That guy is an S-O-B. He's a son of Belial. I laughed the Lord too loud. That's God. This kind of person he is. So I know he was the one talking to me. He gave me scripture. He said, that guy, he says, an S-O-B. I said, Lord, I beg your pardon. You're not supposed, God is not supposed to say things like that. And then the Lord smiled and said, son of Belial. Just an example. That's how God is. So, the heart becomes more established. He will come to you in a greater measure, in you in a greater measure, they'll be able to raise the dead. You get this, all this from Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Heal the sick, one level. Cleanse the lepers, another level. Raise the dead, another level. And cast out devils. All of them involve casting out the devil. So, the more you want God to come in you, the more established your heart needs to be. Why? The answer is obvious. If God comes to a heart that is not established, he will misuse it. He can't handle the spirit without measure when his emotions are not under control. He can't handle the spirit without measure if God just does one or two things before him and he gets to his head and becomes proud. If his heart is not established in humility, if his heart is not established in revelation knowledge, he can misuse power. If his heart is not established in the fruit of the Spirit, God can't trust him. One of the great example, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You know, I always ask myself a question that if we had the power Jesus had, and that's why we don't have it really, will we behave like him? He's in Jerusalem. Most of his miracles were done in Galilee, because in Jerusalem there's a lot of unbelief. That's why you don't see him healing multitudes in Jerusalem like he did in Capernaum and in Bethsaida, you know, and some of the other, you know, in Galilee. He did, but not as much because of their unbelief. Bible says he could not do much work in Nazareth because of their unbelief. The same thing is true of Judea, because they had spread all kinds of terrible things about him. Oh, he's a carpenter. Don't mind him. He kills out by Beelzebub. So a lot of people were skeptical. And that skepticism hindered their faith from receiving from the Spirit without measure. But occasionally he did. So one day he was in Jerusalem. I was at a feast, you know, and there were a multitude of sick people. Very interesting. Ordinarily, the Bible says, what would have happened with that? The Bible says power went out of him and healed them all. But it didn't happen there. Why? Not because the power wasn't there, because they hindered it by their unbelief. So anyway, so the Holy Ghost now points out one man to him. This man has been sick for 38 years. And an angel used to come down and you know, trouble the water. And people, the person that goes in gets a miracle. So, of course, the man couldn't, you know, he was incapacitated. So there's no way other people will get to the water before him. So Jesus just comes. I love this. I say, God, help me to get my heart more established. The Lord Jesus, with all his power. By this time, he had done, you know, the miracle of Cana of Galilee. By this time, he had healed, you know, he had done myriads of miracles. So he goes up to this guy. He said, will thou be made whole? He doesn't announce who he is. The man said, oh, I have no man to put me in the water before I go in. He said, all right. Take up your bed and walk. Instantly, the healing power was a manifestation. And the man took up his bed and walked. Jesus disappears. Would you disappear? It's a very important question to ask. Brother Ibrahim is laughing. How many of us will disappear? You will shout. Come and see the great power of God. Put it on television. Most importantly, take up an offering. Instantly in that place. But that's not an established heart. See established heart in operation. So, Jesus just melts with the crowd. Because there's a lot of people there. The guy didn't even know who Jesus was. So they see him carrying his bed. See how the, you know, unregenerate, hard heart is. That's why God was grieved at their hard-heartedness. Instead of, praise God, oh, look at this man. You are healed. Thank God, thank God. That was not the reaction. Why are you carrying your bed on the Sabbath day? Can you imagine? Is that the question to ask? The poor man. You know what he said? He said that the guy that got me healed told me I should rise up and take up my bed. And I rose up and I took up my bed and I'm walking. They said, who is he that told you to do such a thing and break the Sabbath? The man said, I don't know him. I'm talking about being self-effacing. He didn't even know who Jesus was. Jesus appeared, got him healed quietly in the multitude of there. People didn't even know what was going on around. And then Jesus just melts into the crowd. See, when he has come in you to that level of humility, then you too will be able to do everything he did. And you know what? So Jesus mingles with the crowd and all of that. The man is walking around. So, because they're still in the temple. In the temple, you know, if you have an understanding of the temple of Herod, it's a big place. You know, so many people in the outer court and all of that. Only the priest could enter the holy place and the most holy place. So majority of the people were outside. That's where Jesus would sit on the steps and he would teach. So Jesus was mixing, you know, going around. So suddenly, Jesus just appears to him again. Then he recognizes that it was Jesus who healed him. So Jesus said, behold, you are whole now. Sin no more, lest a worse thing comes against you. And then he disappears. Now he knows it's Jesus. So he now goes to tell the boys. is that, let me say it the way they used to say it in the day. Is that Nazarene? Is that prophet from Nazareth? So, and then the Bible says they persecuted him because he had healed the man on the Sabbath. Can you see we have a long way to go? The heart of the people, you know. So the more established your heart is, the more he can come in you. The other thing about established heart, why you need an established heart, is that it is an established heart that will not be afraid of evil tidings in these perilous days. Turn to Psalm 112. Psalm 112. And I'm going to look at verses. Am I talking to anybody here? If you're still on my side, give me a wave offering. And then give the Lord a shout. All right. So I know you're not sleeping. That was a test. He shall not. I didn't hear you. Psalm 112 verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. Another word is established. Trusting in the Lord. Verse 8. His heart is what? If you are afraid of evil tidings, your heart is not established. Let me paraphrase that in a better way so that we can see the relative progression. The more established your heart is, the less you'll be disturbed by what you hear. I'm going to repeat it. The more established your heart is, the less you will be disturbed by what you hear. 20 years ago, which will be 2001, 2002, you know, 2000. If what is happening in Nigeria now happened 20 years ago, I would have been so disturbed. I'm looking at my progression. I'm talking about Olubi Johnson now. I can see where I'm coming from. Even, I would have been terribly disturbed. I would be praying, no. Not I won't pray. But I would have been agitated. Today, to the glory of God, my heart is like stone. Not stone-hearted in the sense of, you know, I'm hard-hearted. But it's not disturbed. It doesn't disturb me. You know why? I can see the answer. And let me get back to what I said during the Bible study. Do you understand? All these are politicians and people who are just, you know, some of them are doing a lot of bad things, corruption and everything, that are causing the problem that we are that we're having today. Their time is up. The Lord spoke to me. He said, you know, I gave them a long rope. We've been at this thing since 1999. I'm talking about this Third Republic. Look at how good God has been to Nigeria. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Look at how good. Remember what happened with 1993, the Abiola debacle and June 12, and it looked as if the nation was going to scatter. You know, God brought everything back. You know, Abacha was taken away. You know, and then you know three other guys, Abiola and one other General Alidu. Then God brought Obasanjo. Everybody said, "Ha, praise God!" You know, in prison, he had accepted Christ. He wrote a book called The Animal Called Man. I read it myself. He was born again. You can't write that kind of book without knowing God. I read the book myself. It wasn't that somebody told me. But what happened along the way? Something happened. He was a baby Christian, so to speak. He needed discipleship. People were going to Aso Rock to go and get money and contract. So I was sitting the man down and saying, it's not like that, oh. I didn't have that kind of access to him. You know, if I had, I would have, you know. But I didn't. Anyway. Look at what God, look at all the terrible things that happened, yet God kept Nigeria. From Obasanjo, two terms, went to Yar'Adua. Yar'Adua sadly died, you know. Then Jonathan came up. Look at what God did. It looked as if Jonathan can never become president. How many people remember? You know, our memories are very short. People stood up, Obasanjo and others held Jonathan's hand and said, "You will," and it became. Not only did he become, he won another election. You know, God said, I have given them a long rope. I'm going to show up now. If you can't say amen, say omi. And when God shows up, even the Christians will be afraid. I remember when God showed up on Mount Sinai. Even Moses was afraid. The Bible says, Moses said, this is Moses who sees God every day. God is coming. I just got a text from heaven. Go to Psalm 50. Quickly. It's not in my notes. I'm not going to branch there briefly and come back. Psalm 50. And look at verse 3. Have you got it? Everyone say, our God shall come. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's on the way. He is right at our door. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very what? Tempestuous round about him. Next verse. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge. Who? First of all, his people. Judgment will begin at the house of God. Even the Christians are going to be afraid. Mark my word. Mark my word. He's coming. We're not talking about the rapture. We're talking about he's coming into the church with the spirit without measure. He's here already, but it's with measure. But he's coming in the spirit without measure. Next verse, verse 5. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made covenant with me by sacrifice. I don't want to get into all of that. Verse 6. The heavens shall declare his righteousness. For God is what? Judge himself. Even the people in there will say, ah, God has tried. 99.99. I was coming on the expressway yesterday. You know, I come back from Ijebu. And I was saying to mommy and EMC, I said, this thing should have been done 30 years ago. 30 years ago. What we're doing now on that expressway should have been done 30 years ago. How much would it have cost today? We had the money then. It was ₦1 to a dollar. I used to take that expressway. When I was in UI, there was no expressway. So we used to go through this Ijebu Road. So in 1978, the Obasanjo government, the military one, had finished the expressway. I can never forget it. Because that was the expressway I took. My late uncle, Femi Johnson, who, you know, had Femi Johnson something, he had a Mercedes, you know, which was a 350 SEL. I can never forget. You know how boys are. So, you know, we will go from Ibadan to Lagos, 45 minutes. 45 minutes. The express was, they had just built it. It, no potholes, nothing. You know, we're in Lagos. That was the expressway I took to Lagos. This is 1978, you know. And then, you know, I now went to Imperial College. You know, the airport was spanking new. They built it according to the plan of the airport in Amsterdam. It was designed in fingers. If you've been to Amsterdam, you know what I'm talking about. There's the finger. So that one we have in Lagos is just one finger. So every 5 years, they were to add another finger. Another finger. Another finger. That's the plan. Had it been done, Nigeria would have been the hub that Dubai is now. Who said God has not been patient? They will give account. And they is a lot. I won't mention any names. They is a lot. That expressway would have been an 8-lane or 16-lane highway. 8 lanes on this side, 8 lanes on that side. Is the major artery from Lagos to the rest of the country. They would have so done it that we would have all these flyovers. So that if you are going to Benin, you don't get to Ibadan. Just if you are going to the east, you don't get to Ibadan. And they would have joined it with all the other major networks. All this could have been done. The dollars was there. You know what God said? He said, I've not forgotten. The day of account has come. The first time I went to Dubai, I've actually been to Dubai only once. I went for an LPI, Linux Professional Institute meeting. I went with Pastor Andrew, Brother Dotun, I think Laolu was there. I can't remember, you know. As we were flying into Dubai, I started crying. True story. I wept. You know why? This is what Nigeria should have been. I saw the thing. Ah! I said, oh my God. Cat Qatar Airways was started in 1994. I went Nigerian Airways to London in 1977. Nigerian Airways was flying Lagos, London, Lagos, New York. Nigerian Airways should be far superior to Emirates, Qatar. Today, they will give account. Enough. Let's get back to our message. Establishing the heart. So the first reason is that the more your heart is established, the more the Lord can come in you, in the spirit without measure. The second reason is that the more your heart is established, the less you'll be disturbed by evil tidings. And I want to tell you this, the Holy Ghost said I should tell you. You will not escape evil tidings because you are living in perilous times. Except you want to die now and go to heaven. But if you are on earth, you're going to keep hearing evil tidings. And it's not going to reduce, it's going to increase. Because we're living in perilous times. Are you listening to me? The thing that will keep your heart now is for it to be established. So having an established heart now should not be an option. Men's heart failing them for fear of things that are coming. Don't have a heart attack unnecessarily. Get your heart established. How? The answer is already there. By patience. Consistent practice of the word of God by the mercies of God. The mercy of God gives you three things. Gives you the blood of Jesus. The Bible says, you know, he has mercies on us, you know, and cleanses from all unrighteousness. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 12. Quickly, give it to me. Hebrews 8, 12. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 12. I will be merciful. Hello, somebody. I didn't hear you. I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness and their sins and iniquities will I. So when you operate the mercy of God in faith with understanding, you activate three things simultaneously. You activate the blood of Jesus to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You activate the life of God, Jude 1:21, looking for the mercy of God unto eternal life. You know, you activate the life of God and you activate the power of God. Life and power are really, you know, two sides of the same coin. The life is now converted to power through confession and praying in tongues. So you activate the life of, when you say, I receive mercy, you receive the life of, you receive the blood of Jesus, you receive the life of God. So by the mercies of God, that's how you practice God's word. You start doing it. Initially, when you start doing it, you won't do it very well. Don't worry. God knows that. See, I've said this many times over the years. God does not demand immediate perfection. He demands immediate practice. The problem is when we don't practice. And you know, the reason why a lot of people don't want to do the word of God is because it looks hard. And they don't want to be failing and then have a sense of condemnation. So when you say, oh, pray at least once every 6 hours. I won't do that one. I won't accept it. You know, because if I don't pray once every 6 hours, I'll start feeling guilty. I didn't pray once every 6 hours. You know, or pray in tongues 1 hour every day. I won't accept that. Because if I don't pray in tongues 1 hour every day, I'll start feeling bad. Because, watch this. The commandments of God in the New Testament are straight. The way of God in the New Testament, it is straight and it is narrow. Many people are reluctant to get on the path because of fear of failure. And that is stupid because, forgive me, that's a strong word. That is foolish. That's softer. You know, that is foolish because God never asked you to walk on that road by yourself. Yes, it is straight. Yes, it is narrow. But if you walk on that road with God, with the mercy of God, as a safety net at the bottom, as you are walking the narrow path, even if you slip and you fall, you will not die. The mercy of God will catch you and bring you back. And then you keep walking and walking, then you slip again, the mercy of God will bring you back. After some time, you will learn to balance. And you will stop falling. For if a just man falls 7 times, he will rise again. How? By the mercies of God. That's why God gave us mercy. That's why Paul said you should present your body a living sacrifice by the what? Mercies. Observe, it is in plural. So each day you may need up to 100 mercies of God. Don't worry. What God does not want is refusal to get on the path. Or to reject the truth because you are afraid of the truth. Oh, I don't accept that. Ah, it's going to put me into bondage. Ah, I can't do that. Oh, I can't get up early in the morning. Oh, I can't wake up at 5 o'clock. Oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. Ah, God. God is a good God. He won't ask us to do that kind of thing. I was not one who wrote the Bible. It was God who wrote it. I was sharing with my wife and thanking God for Good Morning Jesus 3rd anniversary. Let's give a Lord a clap offering. And I said this, the Good Morning Jesus platform is a training ground for discipleship. It's a training ground for discipleship. You know what Jesus said? He said, if any man will follow me, he said, let him take up his cross every week. Every month. Daily. Daily. How? What is the cross? He said, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. The cross is using the power of the Holy Spirit every day to crucify the flesh through prayer, intercession, and groanings. That's what it is. Oh. Now, it's not Olubi's definition. It's the Bible definition. So Jesus himself, that's what he did. He said, if any man will follow, the word follow in Greek is mimetes, which means to imitate. He said, if any man will follow me, let him take up. Because that's what he did. He said, Bible says, in the days of his flesh, he offered up prayer and supplication with what? Strong crying and tears, and was heard in that he feared. If you join Good Morning Jesus with the right heart, every day you will pray for more of the fear of God. You will pray for the armor of love, more of the fruit of the Spirit. You will pray with tongues. You will pray with groanings. You will pray for life, you know. And you get up early in the morning like Jesus did. He got up a great while before day. That's why it is a training ground for discipleship. One or two things will happen. You can come, and after some time, you just drop off. Or you can come, by the time you do 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, you've... How many people have had the experience that what they thought was impossible, they are now doing with ease? Tell yourself the truth. Just give me a wave offering. Get up at 5 o'clock every morning. Ah, I can't do that too. That's what you said 3 years ago. Here you are. Today you are doing it. Give the Lord a clap offering. There are even some, like my wife and others, you know, Pastor Williams and some of the other pastors and brethren, they get up at 4. Quarter to 4. So they do a 1 hour prayer before the Good Morning Jesus prayer. And like I was saying to Yemisi yesterday, and I said, these people, you know, Dr. Williams, you know, Professor Lockbody, and many others, you know, they when they finish the Good Morning Jesus, they go to work. Yeah, they're not dead. Are you dead? Are you dead? You know what it proves? It can be done. People would have said, ah, nobody can do that. Ah. He get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Then he prayed for 3 hours, you know, from 4 to 7. Then 7, he now runs and then he goes to the office. Oh, mama, sul office, ni. She ain't sul office. They're a testimony against the rest of the body. I say that to the glory of God. It's the truth. God has proven that if you really want to be my disciple, you can be. But you know, I tell you the downside. They don't watch television until 11 o'clock at night. Television has gone. Gisting has gone to a great extent. So they go to bed early. Between 10 and 11, so they can get up at 4. That is why you have to deny yourself. But it can be done. I use that as an example. So, for you to have an established heart, you need to let the Lord help you to practice doing the Word of God by the mercies of God, as I have explained, in particular, in 2-3 areas. Number one, you need to practice the Word, you know, doing the Word of God, to receive the fear of God every day, the fruit of the Spirit, what we call the armor of love, praying in the Spirit, and look at the sequence. It's not accidental. The fear of God is at the bottom. It includes humility and honesty. It will attract the grace and the mercy of God. Then on top of it, you have the fruit of the Spirit, which is the armor of love. Then on top of that, you now have the praying in tongues and the groanings. The tongues cannot work as it should work if the love of the fruit of the Spirit is not there. Though I speak in tongues of men of angels, if I don't have love, I'm just making noise. None of that one too cannot work without the humility at the bottom. That is why all the brethren who are doing Good Morning Jesus and all of that on a consistent basis cannot be doing it in the natural. It is supernatural. It is by grace. It is grace and mercy of God. The kind of life we're living is a supernatural life. You can't do it in the natural. It's impossible. As you do that, your heart will become established. Because what you're doing is you're pouring into that heart every day. You're making the will more humble. You're filling the mind with more revelation knowledge. You're praying every day for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the present complete. It's part of the prayer. They pray every... Because the prayers in Good Morning Jesus are structured prayers. The Pauline prayer is there in a very, very robust form. Praying in tongues is there. Everything is all there. It's not just haphazard. By the time you do that, and then after the Good Morning Jesus, you now, once every 6 hours, and frequently you're praying in tongues throughout the day, you commune and fellowship with God, you know what's going to happen? The heart, the will, the mind, the emotions will become more and more established. It is a preparation for the coming of the Lord, so that when the Lord comes, it's going to come suddenly with the Spirit without measure, because your heart is established, it will be ready to receive Him. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. I didn't hear amen. Amen. I remember wanting an established heart here. So the good news is that it's establishing. So it's a continuous thing. See, my heart has been established to a degree, and I'm still establishing it more. Your heart needs to be established more. Remove the love of the world. The love of the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye. You know, all those things, they need to go. The too many serious things are before us. The destiny of our nation is in front of us. The destiny of the nations of the world is in front of us. Then you want to squander that on television? I want television myself, but put it aside. You know, I reduce it. Where I used to watch 5-3 hours, well, I just watch 1 or 2 hours, you know. And then on days when I don't have church, I can watch a little bit more. You know, you don't have time. Let's talk to God. Mommy, you want to say something?
Dearly beloved, something has been ringing in my heart. Can you hear me?
I can hear you better.
Dearly beloved, something has been ringing in my heart. And throughout the time Pastor was talking, I said, perhaps this is the time to share this. By the mercy and the grace of God, this is the third year that Good Morning Jesus has started. If you genuinely can't look into your life and see marked marked difference. Whilst we were worshiping and praising the Lord on the first, there was one thing that I said that struck me, which was the reason why, by the grace and mercy of God, was one of the things that made me tell you, MSC, we need to extend this to all of us. Because pastor's been preaching, and how are we going to get these things formed in us, without established in us, without intercession? Because when I look at the scripture that says that Jesus is coming back for a church, a glorious church that is without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. Please sit down. Please sit down. I won't take five minutes. Without spot, without wrinkle, with blemish, without blemish or any such thing. And I look at myself, and by the grace and the mercy of God, I don't want to judge myself by others. I judge myself by the word of God, and I say, God, are you really coming back for that church? Because what I see is not close to that church. Now look at the whole body. And I said, God's word can never return void. But now, to the glory of God, by his mercy, during the time of that worship, it just came from our spirit that I no longer wonder whether he's coming back for that church that without wrinkle, blemish, spot, or any other. Can I see it? I see myself changing. I see myself being transformed. I see things dropping off me.
Yeah.
And I see by the mercy and the grace of God that the person that I am today was not the person I was yesterday. And day before. And then I see, I know, I'm assured that he's coming back for that church. Now, let me tell you something. If you've been coming to, that's why he said I was going to get up. If you've been coming to Good Morning Jesus prayers, and you don't have an open womb. If you're coming to Good Morning Jesus, and you spend 3/4 of the time sleeping. If you are coming in to Good Morning Jesus and you're not praying fervently, the Bible says it's the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man that avails much. If you're coming in to Good Morning Jesus and you do not have tenacity and the spirit of importunity, holding on to something and holding on to it until you see that transformation, you'll be shortchanging yourself. You know the reason why? Because even Jesus, the Son of God, who said it is finished, he still has one ministry that he ever lived to do. Sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession. He's working. Intercession. Praying. To do what? To save us to the uttermost. To save you and I. So it's not enough to just come and mark present, sir. Present, ma. Nobody is looking. It's you and God. And that's why it's personal. It's actually very, very personal. It's between you and God. But what will give us joy is to see that life transformed, that life changed. That alabaster box of ointment you bring alongside with your household, and you break it at the feet of Jesus, and you use it to worship as a memorial. Every day being transformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said to someone, I said, do you think someone can be leading this kind of prayers every day and say, when you start praying, forgive, forgive, and the person cannot forgive? It's not possible. Because look at the myriads of answers to prayers. We're not the only one that God has had mercy. Not because we're righteous. No, 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 no. But because of his great mercy. So as a mother again, I just come to beg of you. I come to plead. I come to beseech you by the mercies of the Lord. I beg of you. Please. Jesus is coming back soon. The signs are all over. And God is doing great things. Fast of Esther. Pum, pum, pum. Stand before the king. Golden scepter. And you know, I've been reading the Bible. You know, I never connected it together. When the Lord said to me, he said, the third day, Esther stood before King Ahasuerus. And he said, ask even to half of my kingdom. And the Holy Spirit said to me, a greater than Esther is here.
Yes.
I said, Lord, say, ask of me the hidden for the inheritance and the uttermost parts. He said, no more half. It's the uttermost parts. A greater than Esther is here. A greater than Solomon is here. And that's why God is counting on us. That's why there's a lot of tussle over Nigeria, but Satan has failed. Pastors already told us. Because Nigeria is a land of destiny. And we are privileged to be on this springboard of what God is doing this end time. 100 years of Tulsa massacre. After a generation, God always moves. And he started moving. I beg of you, don't sleep. Get up! Because if it was something that was important to you, you will not sleep. You will get up. This is important to you. Important for your husband. Important for your children. Important for your future. Important for the nation. Important for the nations. The Lord will have mercy upon us and help us. I love you and I thank you very much.
Thank you, Doug. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to pray. I'll say one other thing about Good Morning Jesus. This is the third year. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 14:34, each day for a year. Say the third year will be perfected. The first year, cast out devils and do cures. Second year, cast out devils and do cures. Third year, perfected. If there's ever a time to listen to the exhortation mommy told you now, it's now. Even on the prophetic timeline, it is now. Because he's not going to wait for you. He's going to come on time. He's going to come on time. You are the one who needs to be ready now. Establish your heart. Stop playing games. Make sure you're serious with what you're doing. God looks at the heart. And put in the effort and the mercy and the grace of God will come. Another thing I want to say, I just been reminded, you know, determination. You see, God looks at that. I determine to diligently seek God. When God sees determination, then God will pour out grace and mercy on the determination, which will now produce the diligence. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. But it is his determination to be that attracts the favor. So stop playing games. Do the determination in your heart and then start the practice. And the mercy will come and the grace will come. Put your hand on your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, have mercy on us. So receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Let us come this afternoon. A present truth, instructional word. That I need to be establishing my heart now in preparation for your coming to your church by your spirit without measure. Father, have mercy on me. Help me. I determine to establish my heart by patience, consistency in using your blood, consistency in using your word, consistency in praying in the spirit, so that my heart, my will become established and addicted to humility. My mind become established and addicted to revelation knowledge. My emotions become established and addicted to the fruit of the Spirit, so I can receive your coming, your Spirit without measure, to fulfill my destiny in this third day. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Lord Holy Ghost, thank you. For your blood, for your life, for your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us share the benediction. That's a great song. After the benediction choir, you have to sing that song. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Yes, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live. Yes, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart unto you the knowledge of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell your neighbor, you're establishing your heart and no bones are broken. In Jesus' name, amen. Please, just before we go, please, everybody wait just a second.